And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. It is 5 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 15th of April, 2024. How are you all keeping? I hope you're very well. How was your weekend? If there's anything you think we should be talking about that you come across over the last couple of days, let us know. The lines are open right now. It could be something you think needs attention in a positive way or something that needs to be highlighted to be fixed, if you get where I'm coming from. The lines are open for you, though. And just to recap those numbers, 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number. Don't forget you can WhatsApp your voice notes to 086 60 25000. If you want to give us a call, the team of Caroline and Shannon are taking your calls on 074 91 25000, 074 91 25000. And emails come in to us on the email address, as you can imagine. It's comments@highlandradio.com. And by the way, if you're listening to the podcast or you're watching back on social media or you're listening to us overnight, feel free to email at any stage. We pick them up and we can include them in the next show that's broadcast live. So we have some very loyal listeners overnight and to our podcast. We very much appreciate you. And we also, as I say, want you as involved in the conversation as everyone else. So even if it is the next day, don't be afraid to WhatsApp or text, or preferably email your comments to comments@highlandradio.com. The Derry People Donegal News this morning: a review of the work carried out by a radiologist who made errors in more than one third of hundreds of scans at Letterkenny University Hospital has now been completed. The male radiologist, who was employed on a locum basis in September, had his contract terminated after just 7 days of clinical activity. In an interview with the Donegal News in November, Tony Canavan insisted there were no immediate red flags during the recruitment process. The person was suitably qualified, was on suitable register, and so on. There were no real red flags that we can see immediately in that report, he said. Or in that regard, the radiologist was contracted to Letterkenny University Hospital for 10 days in total, Mr. Canavan said. At some stage early in that process, concerns were raised over the standard of their work. The Derry News reports this morning that a youth worker has been jailed at Derry Crown Court for sexually abusing a child in his care. John Patrick Paul Beckett, 44, whose address was given to the court, admitted one count of sexual communication with a child on February 24, 2023. He also admitted three charges of sexual activity with a child under 18, which took place on dates between January 1st and February 23rd, 2023. The court heard that the victim, who was 14 at the time, said in a statement that following the abuse, things will never be the same again. On to the Nationals now, and perhaps a bit of good news coming from the Irish Independent, a bit of electioneering as well, but if it, I suppose, benefits the general population, so be it. A personal tax package worth around €1,200 per person is now expected to be included in the next budget. Child benefit will go up by €10 a month, and the state pension will increase by at least €12 a week. Ahead of the general election, the coalition is going to well and truly open the purse strings. Finance Minister Michael McGrath has already confirmed there'll be a hike in tax credits, an increase in the entry point to the standard rate of income tax, and changes to the USC. The changes from last year's budget were worth about €800 to the average worker, but the budget 2025 bonanza, as it's being called in the Irish Independent, will do the same and another half on top of that. The first €20,000 a worker earns will be exempt from income tax through tax credit increases. The point at which someone pays the top rate of tax will go up from €42,000 to somewhere around €44,000. The USC threshold will be tweaked too. All told, government sources say the package will be worth about €1,200 for the average middle-income earner. And I mean, that's all good news. Anyone would like to see more money in their pockets, of course. I think hopefully it's a budget that benefits those who need it most. Of course, the squeezed middle, in inverted commas, certainly do need it, but also to those on the lower of incomes. And of course, too, what people want to see is not just funding, but actual improvement in services, because it's all well and good having an extra few quid a week, but you still want to be able to go and see your GP or your dentist or what have you. On to the Irish Independent now. Oh, sorry, that was the Irish Independent. On to the Irish Times. And United States President Joe Biden has led the unequivocal condemnation of Iran's air missile attack on Israel as Western leaders vowed to work to avoid further destabilization in the Middle East. In a statement issued after an emergency meeting yesterday, the group of seven G7 asserted that Iran's strike risked provoking an uncontrollable regional escalation, while in a phone conversation with Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Saturday evening, Mr. Biden reportedly urged his counterpart to interpret the successful repulsion of the aerial barrage by an Israeli-US military coalition as a win. Now, this obviously wasn't an attack that was designed to inflict a great deal of damage in Israel. It was flagged weeks in advance because, of course, this the Iranians would say was in retaliation to a bombing of an Iran embassy, which is Iranian land, albeit in a different country. So they did at that time promise to retaliate because it was they that were attacked first. But as I say, it was, you know, very, very slow. They used a lot of the equipment they used to attack Israel were very slow moving drones and other UAEs, as they're described. And then they said, that's it for now. You know, they said, we're not going to do anything further at this point. So hopefully the Israelis who attacked first will see the win in terms of repelling this attack, because we do not need to see another conflict in another part of the world. Biden also told Mr. Netanyahu that he could be assured of America's ironclad commitment to the security of Israel as the White House sought to portray the outcome of Iran's aggression as a validation of the robustness of Israel's military capacity. Iranian military fired more than 300 weapons, including 30 cruise missiles and over 120 ballistic missiles. According to the Israel Defense Forces, 99% of these were taken down by a combination of Israeli and US missile defense destroyers, but the British and French were also involved in that. So hopefully that is the end of that. Right, on to the Irish Daily Mail. There was a €9.8 million EU asylum fund available to the Irish government. Unfortunately, according to the reports today, not a penny of that has been drawn down. We must be loaded if we don't need the €9.8 million. Can you imagine how many pets you could have for that? Confidence in Justice Minister Helen McEntee and Integration Minister Roderick O'Gorman's ability to devise an effective new immigration strategy will be further damaged by the revelation that the state has not claimed a single cent from a multi-billion euro EU migration or immigration scheme. The government has claimed the new system will allow a greater focus on efficient returns of rejected applicants and accelerated processing for those from safe countries or those with no documents or with false papers. The European Parliament vote, which was opposed for the most part by Sinn Féin, allows more people to be detained in facilities at borders and allows countries to make financial contributions in lieu of taking in asylum seekers. Amid much publicity, the state signed the European Asylum and Migration Pact last week, which aims to deliver a cross-European response to the growing problem. But we haven't drawn anything down from this €9.8 million asylum fund. And also, too, if you're not aware, this is set to be passed in the Dáil, and 1 minute has been allocated to the passing of, or the adoption, I'll get the correct terminology, of the state's decision to sign up to the European Asylum Migration Pact. 1 minute. We've seen that before, haven't we, with major things being announced and no proper debate or no debate really being allowed on it. And that's what we're seeing with that asylum pact. 1 minute has been allocated for it to pass through the Dáil. Awful scenes in Australia at the weekend, and an Irish woman has spoken about her terrifying experience of being locked in a shop as a stabbing spree raged in a Sydney shopping centre. Beth Hassan from Derry was working in a shoe shop in Westfield Bondi Junction when Joel Couchy fatally stabbed six people on Saturday in a crazed attack. Just after 3 p.m, the 40-year-old attacked shoppers with a large knife, killing five women. He clearly was targeting women, and one man, and injured a nine-month-old baby, among 11 others, before police shot him dead. When Miss Hassan returned to work from her break at 3:10 p.m., she didn't realise anything was wrong until she heard three gunshots 15 minutes later. And absolutely horrendous. And a 38-year-old mother too, in her last act, was to hand her nine-month-old baby to strangers, begging them to protect that baby, who thankfully is stable, but unfortunately will have to go through life without his mother. She very sadly died, but incredibly brave in the aftermath. And I was just so shocked by the news of it, and kind of went on social media to see what was what. And all it was, the reaction was, well, not all, but for some reason, what's fed to me on social media, I don't know, was trying to blame, you know, Islamic terrorism instantly. People going, oh, well, this is what you get when you open your borders, blah, 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 blah. And then another cohort of people going, oh, he's Jewish. You know, this is what happens when you empower Jewish people, and all this kind of language and rhetoric. As it turns out, he's an Australian white guy. But that's the point, is even with all the horrendous loss of life and the carnage, the online space seemed to be focused on blaming some group of individuals for his actions. But that's just the world we live in now. But it kind of means that my time on social media is getting less and less and less all the while. The Irish Daily Mirror, the number of homes available to rent for people accessing the housing assistant payment, now we'd know that more ordinarily as HAP, it stood at 38 nationwide in the latest report. So if you were seeking to rent a house and you were entitled to the HAP payment across the entire country in March, only 38 houses were available. The Simon Communities Locked Out of the Market report for March shows this was an increase of 5 since December. The report found 1,180 properties were available to rent at any price within 16 areas surveyed over 3 dates in March. This is an increase of 508 properties. But in 10 of the 16 areas, there were no HAP properties available to rent through the scheme in any category within standard or discretionary limits. Now, because there is quite a large discretionary limit in Dublin. I don't think Donegal, I don't think Donegal's included in that. I think Sligo's the closest to us, but I'm sure all the problems are the same. Now, this is a story that gets published in the papers almost on a monthly basis, but I do think it's worth mentioning again, because of course our biggest star is Daniel O'Donnell, and he's again warned fans to be aware of scammers after it emerged they are being duped on a daily basis. He has been a target for several years for online criminals trying to cash in on his huge fan base. Fake social media accounts in his name have repeatedly popped up, in which scammers have made bogus requests for charity donations and attempted to sell counterfeit meet and greet tickets. But over the past few months, fraudulent online targeting of the singer's followers has surged, and the growing problem is highlighted in the latest edition of the Singer's Fan Club magazine. It warns readers, many of whom are elderly, to ignore the rocketing number of fake requests. Fan Club Secretary Suzanne wrote, over the last few months, I've received an increased amount of emails, which is now becoming daily, from fans thinking Daniel has contacted them via WhatsApp and Facebook messengers. And I suppose if you're desperate to hear from your idol, and he is really quite accessible, would you 100% rule it out if that's what you really wanted? But he's not doing that, and it is a scam, and people really need to be careful. So I was going through some government releases, as you do on your weekend off, and I stumbled across a release as it relates to a fund to protect archaeological monuments. So it was announced over the weekend, or towards the end of last week. It was a 7 million euro fund. So as you do, you scroll through the fund to see, well, how much did we get here in Donegal? And as it turns out, we didn't get a single cent. Not one single project had been identified or had been selected for funding. Or when we say selected, there might be more to that story. Every other county, there was some money allocated, and quite a considerable sum as well. Now, it wasn't clear at that time what was going on. Is it because, you know, the applications were reviewed and they were deemed not to be worthy of funding? Or were we not properly submitting or fully submitting applications? Either way, it's a big tranche of money that Donegal has lost out on. Councillor Barry Sweeney of Fine Gael is chair of the Donegal Heritage Forum, and he's with me now. Good morning to you, Barry.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, so what went on here? How could there be 7.4 million euro for a year announced and not one single project in Donegal selected?
Yeah, well, Greg, just to say first, I'm deeply disappointed. excuse me, sorry, I have a bad throat.
Don't worry about it. Take your time.
I'm deeply disappointed that we have lost out on this particular tranche of funding this year. I'm disappointed as a councillor who works very hard on heritage and heritage-related matters. I'm also deeply disappointed as a community volunteer who is entrenched in a lot of the local heritage projects in the area, in the south of the county. It's a missed opportunity. I suppose my understanding of why that has happened, and being involved within the Heritage Forum and everything, I'm very aware that we were not going to have an application in this year, any applications from the county.
But we did have a number of community groups across the county that applied for funding in Donegal, but clearly they were unsuccessful. So is this...
No, that's actually not correct. There was no applications that went in this year under the Community Monuments.
So no one submitted an application to Donegal County Council?
No, the opportunity wasn't there for anybody to open to apply for it, and there would be I estimate there'd be at least 14 different projects around the county that could have and would have been in a good position to apply for this funding, but it wasn't a possibility.
Right. So I'm looking at the county council's website, and under heritage grants it says now closed. Donegal Culture and Creativity Projects Award Scheme, now closed. Community Monuments Fund. There is a link there. No one clicked that link and applied.
No, you see, that opportunity to apply for that happens around November time. And the way it works is that the department will contact the chief executive of every council to see, do they want to avail of this? Have they got projects? And who will they assign? Very sorry about my voice, folks. if they can apply for this this fund, that the chief executive, I suppose, senior management would then go to various sections within the council. Normally, the heritage officer or the conservation officer or the library services to see if they have the capacity to apply for the fund. And I just want to, I suppose, firstly say that it is one of many funding opportunities within the heritage sector, within the council and within the county, that is available every year. Most of them are applied for, and in the last number of years, we've been very successful as a council in applying for heritage funding.
I understand that, Barry. Listen, it's not that I don't want to shine a light on the good work, right? But there's hundreds of thousands of euro here that we've missed out on. And I really want to get to the bottom of that. And pardon my ignorance, it's Monday morning. Are you saying that the council didn't have the resources to open up or deemed it didn't have the resources to open up for applications in November so we could have got a portion of this money? So it's the council that didn't facilitate applications that would then be forwarded on nationally?
That's correct.
Well, that's pretty shameful, isn't it?
It's terrible, and it's something that I've been fighting for a long time. Our heritage officer, who does work very hard, I'm not here to defend anybody, but just to try and explain that the work of the heritage officer in the county is enormous. He has a huge amount on his plate. I know you've spoken to him many times about things. And each year, the workload is getting bigger and bigger, and probably the more success you have over the years, the more the workload is. And it's not just a case of filling out a form and sending it off. This is like, you know, if say we could have had probably 6 or 7 successful applications, I'm fairly sure if we applied for it. However, there might be twice that or more who would apply for it. It involves going out, meeting the groups, doing a lot of advice on what needs to be done, how it's done, and then drawing down the funding, putting in the application first of all to the national competition. When the money is awarded, the drawdown of that and the overseeing of projects throughout the year to make sure that it is done.
Okay, that's all
well. It's not just filling out forms, of course.
And it's not about an individual. A huge amount of work that every single other local authority was able to undertake. Cork 580,000, Dublin 868,000, Galway 486,000, Kerry 260,000, Kildare 390,000, Limerick 278,000. All of those councils had the resources or made the resources available to facilitate these applications and to help maintain our heritage. You know, what is it so unique about Donegal that we're the only local authority that are so stretched that we weren't able to do this?
We need somebody else in there. We're under-resourced. The staff that are in the council in many departments, including in the area of heritage, are very, very stretched. And probably because they were successful. Like last year, we got €394,000 under this scheme. And since it was opened in 2020, we've received over €1 million for Community Monuments Fund. And that's funded over the last 4 years, 22 different projects around the county. So, you know, we should have had another 390,000 this year. We've been fighting within the council as councillors and within the Heritage Forum to get an assistant heritage officer in the council. This has been a real struggle over the last number of years. It just doesn't seem, it seems to be falling on deaf ears, and you know, for a while, but it's not that. I think the senior management will be quite cautious and conscious of taking on another member of staff who would have to be paid and would be a full-time member of staff with pensions and all those kind of things. Now, I don't think that's a good enough excuse, and I've said that to them on numerous occasions, and I've fought very hard to get an assistant heritage officer. That has happened at the last budget to a degree. We're in the process now of recruiting a new member of staff, which will not be a silver bullet, but will help with the administration.
Surely someone outside of hiring someone, there must be another individual or individuals within the council that could have been redirected briefly to ensure that we were able to apply for this funding.
That question has been asked, but it's not that simply
it
transferable.
Is really,
you know,
it kind of is, though, Barry. You know, like,
well, you need to have a good grasp of who the groups are, what they're doing, what the projects are, to actually assess them all and put them forward to the national competition. There's probably a lot of specialist knowledge and awareness that's needed around that. And you know, it is a fight that we've been having for a long time. They have granted funding in the last budget for another staff member within the Heritage Office, which is good news, but we're just in the process of trying to get the right person in there.
When did you become aware that we weren't going to be applying for this funding?
Oh, it would have been basically right up to the last moment as to if, you know, we thought there might be a possibility, there might be a chance. Will there be, you know, basically you've got probably two people who are working on this. You've your heritage officer and your conservation officer, plus cultural services, but really two people who would be making the decisions on what to prioritise. So they've looked at a number of different, all the different schemes, and there are a lot of other schemes out there. So they had to prioritise what they could physically manage. And they did. They went for Historic Towns Initiative this year.
They
It got €350,000 for a project.
It's not they themselves that determine what, presumably they've got someone above them that's making these decisions.
I suppose it comes down to who can get their feet on the ground and have they the time to get out and facilitate that scheme. It's very resource heavy, in fairness.
We need to be investing in our heritage. And the fact that there was prior knowledge and we kind of were aware that we don't have the staff to fully apply for all of these tranches of funding, this is a €300,000 or €400,000 potentially down the drain. And there was sight of this. This is not something that's come as a shock. There was sight of it. We knew that we didn't have the resources to apply for this type of funding. And that was allowed to just pass.
Sorry to interrupt you, Greg, but it didn't pass without a fight. You know, we've been working.
Who were you
really
fighting with?
This.
But who were you fighting? Sorry? Who was resisting you? Not individuals, but I mean, you were fighting. Fighting with who? The executive.
Fighting with the system within the council to get somebody specialised who is able to do this job, to get them in place, and to release the money to employ somebody. And that's where my fight was as a councillor, with senior management staff to get this. And It has been a fight over the last number of years. This has gone on about 3 years because we knew this day would happen when we would lose out. And do you know what, Greg? I'll tell you, this is not the first time. Mm. Last year, I was very disappointed that we in County Donegal didn't get more funding under the Historic Towns Initiative. But that was a decision to scale back on what was done last year.
In terms of us missing out on this funding, as far as you're aware, was this raised in a council meeting? Like, was it
many discussed? Many council meetings, yeah. Myself, yeah. And there are a number of other councillors who sit on the Heritage Forum. Donal Coyle and Johnny McGuinness are on that. And, you know, it has been a bugbear for a long time. You know, I'm saying the same thing again. We tried really hard to get this, but we had resistance, you know, from releasing the funds to get this person in place. So there's different reasons for that from their point of view. But I didn't see it. I didn't agree with it. And eventually we had success at the last budget to see that there's money now released from the council budget to facilitate a new person. But that person isn't even in place yet. You know, it is very live at the moment, I understand, but that person is not in place. And that won't be a silver bullet. There's still an awful lot of work for whoever comes in to work on these applications. And any community group, like, and I'm really disappointed for those groups who are out there, you know, who have missed out. But I will say this, the potential groups who would have got this funding, and we're talking about, say, six groups, they would have been contacted by the heritage officer and say, look, this is not happening. We don't have the ability to apply for the community monuments fund this year, but you can apply for the community heritage fund. And they were directed in that direction. And most of those groups have applied for community heritage funding. And I would hope they'll get money. I think, you know, within the next, say, 3-4 weeks, probably,
but we have still lost community heritage. That's grand and fine, but we've still lost out on our share of 7.4 million euro. The fact that they can also apply to another funding stream. Like, I just concerned, I just wonder if these figures hadn't been stumbled upon, would we even hearing about this? What other kind of money are we missing out on, I wonder? It's certainly something that's going to require more scrutiny going forward because we don't have the resources to be missing out on hundreds of thousands of euro here. And as I say, sometimes these things only seem to come to the fore when the figures are stumbled upon.
Yeah, well, I'm extremely disappointed. Just to finish on that, I'm extremely disappointed as a councillor and as a local volunteer and a heritage, somebody who's passionate about heritage. I'm very disappointed.
Okay.
We've lost out on this.
Well done, Barry. Thanks for working through the sore throat. I appreciate it. Councillor Barry Sweeney there, Fine Gael, chair of the Donegal Heritage Forum. Jimmy Duffy's a Labour candidate in the local elections in the Glenties area. Jimmy, thanks for holding there and good morning to you. I appreciate you taking the time out this morning.
Morning, Greg.
Right, so we know the reason why now, Jimmy, us losing out on this funding. Shocked but not surprised. Would that sum it up?
Yeah, shocked. But, yesterday, like yourself, I was shocked and not surprised. But when I started looking into it and looking at what we got in the past, in the last couple of years, we got... In my own area, we got 200,000 for monuments. I got that fund. So even in the Glenties area, we've lost average of 200,000 for the council not processing the applications.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are a historian, a local historian to your area as well. This talks to a broader problem that you've identified in that maybe we aren't more generally giving enough importance to, you know, our archaeological and archaeological history, our heritage.
Yeah, in a week that the same council is celebrating the 40 years since... Brian Lacey, archaeologist, who had compiled the monuments of Donegal, the survey of the monuments of Donegal. We are lagging behind in recording all. From my research, maybe in the last 20 years, I could identify maybe at least 10 or 20 monuments that's not even on the actual There's a map online in the Heritage Council, and these monuments are not even identified, some of them.
So if the staff in Heritage, because of course we can't have a small group of individuals doing it all, would you be hopeful that if another person is appointed in the council with an interest in Heritage, that we might start, you know, properly recording our archaeological sites and our heritage sites?
No, I wouldn't be optimistic about that, because we have a status quo at the moment of, you know, the present heritage department, I suppose, for the want of a better word, within the council has been in place maybe this last 20-odd years, and there's been no outreach to local historians like myself, and the county is full of people like myself, concerned people.
A caller says the council does not want to acknowledge any newfound archaeology. It's a headache for planners. If it's not there, there are no planning issues. Surely not.
Well, in saying that now, I've been trying, well, not really trying, but I have nowhere to go really to put this particular place. It's an old Church of Ireland graveyard, and it's completely grown over, and you wouldn't build a hen house on the site. It's nothing to do with Cannon, but it's just a lack of resources and a lack of will by the authorities or the people to even acknowledge the existence of this graveyard, a place that people has been buried and has been forgotten about.
Mm. Okay. You obviously elected to the council then. This would be one of your hobby horses. Is that fair to say, Jimmy?
Yeah, well...
Because you think it's a missed opportunity, aren't you? Sorry. I mean, other than archiving our heritage and the importance of that for future generations, I think you're of the view too that we're missing out on the tourism potential and what have you.
Yeah, well, you see, all these where do the tourists come from? They come around the Wild Atlantic Way. They come to places like Cluny Gongman and the different castles and forts that's around the area. I know there's big ones like Greenland Fort, but there's ones like Castle Annagray and all sorts of smaller forts along the line. And these monuments are actually tourist attractions too. And I can't understand why the council can't invest in our heritage.
Okay.
Like one example would be even in living heritage where we have fishing boats. Some of them, the last of their class, last of their era, and they're being put away for scrappage. And when they, one particular boat could have been bought for 27,000 by the council and or by some authority, and used as a living heritage place, like a local, like a small harbour.
But yeah, I've seen them elsewhere. I've seen them elsewhere. Very attractive. Yeah, it's easier to scrap it. And Jimmy, listen, thank you so much for your time this morning and joining the conversation. Have a lovely day. That is Jimmy Duffy, who is a historian in his local area and also a Labour candidate in the local elections. Have your say, of course, 086 60 25,000. Anne says, I wonder, and I suspect this is application-based, is it possible that no applications went in from Donegal Group's committees? Well, it's not that there was no option for them because the staff, the resources weren't available in the council to facilitate applications for this tranche of funding. As I've always said, Donegal is a forgotten county, not forgetting the small towns and villages within. Raphoe is known as God's unfinished town. I could go on. In my local townlands, I can think of two, Cooley Cross in Mobile and the castle in Greencastle. This is from Methna. Charlie McConnellogue, wake up, and local councillors, and if they don't know about grants or how to fill them in, give it to local bodies that know how to do it. P.S. I did think Cooley Cross did get some kind of funding. Yes, and there are regular tranches of funding, but we had a 7.4 million fund here that we didn't apply to. We didn't, so we missed out. Every county got big money, hundreds of thousands of euro. Okay, we'll be back with more shortly. Okay, next up on the show is Ain't Do Election candidate Mary T. Sweeney. Good morning to you, Mary T. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners.
Now, we were just discussing heritage there. What's your take on this?
Well, I was very disappointed to hear that, and I'm delighted it's been brought forward. But one thing I query is, I know when the submissions were invited for the town development plan, I know I personally put in a submission for a sculpture for the Old Town Bridge, because to commemorate it on three levels, actually. On the first was it was the principal Dublin main Dublin road that the flight of the Aerials would have taken to get into North Donegal in 1607. The second point is that it was Daniel O'Connell made reference later, years later in the dial, in a dossier that he presented on atrocities against the native Irish. And in his statement, he mentioned 15 native Irish, who we later found out were apparently women and children, who were executed by drowning at the Old Town Bridge in the 1641 rebellion. Mm-hmm. And the third thing that I mentioned for a sculptural piece that could be also commemorated in that vicinity would have been the idea of the Letterkenny train station and the idea of the cattle being exported from Letterkenny. But it's the train station. And I put in a quick sketch drawing, and it was a very quick sketch drawing, and asking them to liaise with Brian Galler in the station hotel to put a station front on the hotel there along the footpath.
And all again, sound recommendations. Across. Were any of them adopted, or do you know at this point? Because these were submissions. So
this is making me disappointed, because I'm wondering, is there any point in even putting in submissions that take time and effort to do? And I do appreciate that deadlines, because I have been caught with deadlines, because you only notice a small notice in the paper at the last minute, or somebody happens to phone you and say, perhaps the whole concept of the way we're advertising for submissions and the way we're engaging with public interaction, it needs to be more accountable, Greg, I think, after hearing that today. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not the first time I've heard of Donegal County Council losing out on funding that was available, either for LAF schemes, in the community for the people in the farming community to get the roads done. But perhaps we need to review the whole concept of how the funding deadlines and all consultations, because I have concerns about the general consultation process.
Yeah, and there are other examples as well. There are other examples as well where applications were put in for significant developments in certain parts of the county and were rejected because the application wasn't correctly sent off, if that makes sense. These are the type of things, especially when we think we're the forgotten county, we believe it's like the likes of Dublin forgetting us. But if that is the case, we also have to make sure that we're not forgetting ourselves, i.e. that we have staff to apply for these types of funding streams, and that we make sure if we're applying for, if we're putting in applications for major developments, that they're correct. You know what I mean? We can't always be blaming 100%. A national situation if we're dropping the ball locally.
Oh, no, this is a local issue. This is very much a local issue. And I don't necessarily feel that there's no staffing to deal with it, because I've been at several presentations by the council and there are loads of staff there, So as you mentioned on the show, it's about somebody taking responsibility to reappoint staff if a member is under pressure. And I firmly believe that, and have no doubt in believing that an individual may have been under pressure, then it's up to that individual as a leader in that team to say, listen, I need plan B. I need two extra staff for 2 weeks here.
Okay.
And this is where accountability comes into place.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Mary T. Sweeney. As I say, if these things weren't discovered, would we ever hear about them? Right. Now, if you were travelling around Letterkenny and you were approaching the Polestar roundabout, just having passed the Mount Errigal Hotel, you will have noticed a van on the side of the road, which is not unusual. And this is a first world problem, really, if the truth be told. But anyway, it advertises Senator Niall Blaney's candidacy in the EU elections. But a lot of people contacted us, too many to ignore. Not that we would ignore one, but you know what I mean. That it's a non-EU van, it's a Northern Irish van that is parked on the side of the road. And fair play to Senator Niall Blaney. He's on just to address this, Senator. An oversight, but a bit of an embarrassing one. How would you frame it?
Well, I guess we're a little bit too over-exuberant, Greg. This is a van that's owned by Fianna Fáil border in Northern Ireland. He was the process, and it's one of a number of vans that we're getting, actually, from business owners in Northern Ireland. Vans are hard to get at the moment. But we did get ahead of ourselves before we got the plates changed. The plates are in the process of being changed. But I apologise for annoying the people of the Northwest, because we were over-observing, but what we want to do is put a message out there of how important it is to have a voice at the European level for the people of Donegal and the Northwest. And I suppose that over-exuberance from the Northern Ireland perspective, I suppose we always talked about having relationships with Northern Ireland. They now see the importance of having an MEP in the Northwest, because they no longer have a voice at a European level. They are in the single market. But apologies for any annoyance it did cause, Greg. It wasn't any malice or otherwise by my team.
I think it's really people pointing out an irony. I don't think anyone can be offended by it. My word, hopefully we're not at the point that it's offensive, but it seems a little bit ironic. But it's been spotted now, and you say it's being changed.
Absolutely, and we want to ensure that we do get out early and our voices heard. I want to be the person that has people's back in the Northwest. I want to ensure that we start to get our projects delivered up here that we've been crying out for years. And you might say that's ironic as a government member, Greg, but it's not just here, it's the whole west of the Shannon. There's so many roads projects. Rail isn't what it should be. We still don't have it here. There's a brain drain. Farmers' backs are not being looked after. There are members from Midlands Northwest who have opposed the derogation that we now know is so important in farming in the last 2 years. And I want farmers as well to know that I have their back, that if I get elected to the European election, I will be going fighting for their concerns and ensuring that we're providing good product and that farmers have a good future into the future, or have a good prospects into the future.
All right, listen, thanks for that. That's Senator Niall Blaney. I appreciate your time. A caller says, good morning, Greg. We already know so much about this fella in Australia. You can talk about him, but not the stabber in Dublin. Well, you see, the fellow in Australia is dead. He was shot at the scene, just in case you weren't aware. So there's no risk of prejudicing a trial is the issue there. It's not, I can assure you, hand on my heart, there is no cover-up or whatever. The law in this country states that once someone has been charged with a crime, that's it, until such time as they appear in court. Or you can not only damage their right to a fair trial, but... and that's not going to concern too many people, but you can actually also potentially have a mistrial and damage the possibility of the victims actually getting justice as well. So it's not about who you can and can't talk about. Our judicial system in this country is such, and we are talking about this country, that once someone's charged with a crime, that's the speculation, the did he, did she, did they not do something or whatever. If it's not that, you obviously not going to worry too much about someone who's charged with such a crime, but please, you'd have to be concerned for the victims to ensure that they get justice and that there's not a mistrial or anything that can be used as a defence. Because someone could say, how can I get a fair trial in this country when everyone's using my name and saying I did it when I believe I didn't do it, or I, you know what I mean? It's really, really, really simple. The guy in Australia was shot dead. And has no right to any anonymity. But a caller then goes on to say, it's now nearly 4 months since a report was in the paper online. Why are we not told anything? There's thousands more. And I can't read the rest because it's a presumption of guilt, which again, in this country, is not allowed, because people are, be it this person, me, or the texter, whether we like it or not, entitled to the same process as everybody else. Just want to mention before 10 that the St. Angus National School Parents Association is presenting David Craig and his band, supported by Joanne Lilly. It is on Friday, the 26th of April, 2024, at Ongreen and Hotel. The doors open there at 9 p.m. Dancing, I'm told, till late, and all funds raised go directly to St. Angus National School. Folks selling these for schools can take Revolut and hold out with your name. Sorry, that bit's for someone else. But anyway, that's good. Yeah, sell tickets on Revolut. Cool. Right, €15 just the ticket. A great night's entertainment guaranteed there. Next Friday night at Ongreen Hotel. Back with more after the news and obituary notices.